If you've got your Bibles, find 1 Peter. The easiest way to find it is go to the end of the book, go to the maps, and start turning back to the left. See Revelation, and then you'll see Jude, and then there's 3rd, 2nd, 1st, John, 2nd Peter, and then 1st Peter. 1st Peter. Remember, now, here's how we started this discussion last week. Sometimes you need somebody to give you some kind of help on, how do I get through this? We didn't talk about it today. We make ourselves, on Wednesday night anyway, exercise ourselves on seeing good things that are happening. But there's a lot of things going on, and I know you, so I know there are. There are a lot of things going on. A lot of folk, man, there's people struggling with making enough money to pay their bills. They've got illness. They've got job challenges. They've got marital challenges. They've got kids and parents and all that kind of stuff going on. And it's not always easy to get through a day. Now, sometimes, if you go to church, everybody makes it sound like if you're in church or if you're a Christian, then everything's going to be okay. In fact, I had someone ask me just the last couple of days, you know, if you're a Christian, shouldn't everything go well for you? Shouldn't God do good things for you? Well, what's the answer to that? I would love for that to be the case, and that's why it sounds on the radio preacher sometimes and the television preacher sometimes, especially if you're sending money to their program. But the truth is, did everything go great for Jesus? And he was pretty close to God, don't you think? How about Peter and Paul and those kind of things? And that's why we picked write this letter from Peter. What kind of life had Peter lived? What kind of experiences did he have? What kind of ups and the downs? Give me one example. I know we have visitors here, but that does not mean you can't talk. Give me an example of something that Peter went through that kind of helps us identify with him.
Denied Jesus 3 times.
Boy, I've been in that place, haven't you? Where I knew good and well what the right thing to do was, but I couldn't do it. Or wouldn't do it, is a better way to say it. And I knew it. And then I felt bad about not doing it, or doing what I knew I shouldn't do, and then turning around and doing it again, and then doing it again. Now, most of you, I'm sure, have never done that. If you ever did anything wrong, you just did it one time, and then you were through with that, right? Don't lie to me. I know you. So what I think this letter does for us, is it lets us hear from God through a man who understands what it's like to live like us. And he's going to give us some suggestions. He's going to give us some advice. He's going to help us get through the day. This is a how do I get through the day kind of letter. Now it's got... For those of you who like theology, there's enough theology in here to keep you busy. For those of you in here who like sermons and sermonettes, there's lots of sermons. There's lots of points and poems and prayers in here. So there's lots of stuff for you. For me, honest, I'm not so big on Greek definitions or 3 points in a poem. What I've needed more in the last few years of my life, I need somebody to help me get through today. How do I behave today? How do I deal with the good and the bad and the ugly that happens to me today? Now, we're going to read, we've already read the first couple of verses. Tonight we're going to read verses 3, if I can get my bifocals to focus, through verse 9. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to go all the way to 12. 3 through 12. But, before we do that, I got an email. I won't tell you where, won't tell you who, but I got an email today from somebody who was basically had decided that they didn't need anyone's help to get through this difficult situation. And their statement was, because ultimately Jesus is the only one that can really help us and the only one we can really trust. Now, I believe that. Listen to me. I believe ultimately Jesus is the only one you can completely trust, right? A man's going to lie to you. A woman's going to lie to you. Sometimes they won't mean it, but they will. Sometimes they do mean it, and they shouldn't. But sometimes men and women are going to let you down, right? In fact, some of you folks sitting in this room are here because somebody else betrayed you. Somebody else hurt you. It wasn't your own sin. It was a sin of someone else. So you understand that. My point is, y'all, as much as I believe that Jesus is ultimately the only one we can trust and the only one that can really help, God built His system to help us through other people. What this lady was doing was cutting off contact with those who could help her because she knew Jesus was the only one that was really going to get her through it. I've got no argument that Jesus is going to be the one that can get her through it. But does Jesus ever use people to help us from Him to get through it? Yeah, sure does. I think that's what this letter is. I think Peter, God used this man who, with these experiences, with these highs and lows, He used this man to speak to so he could turn and say things to us so we could get through our day, the ups and downs and the ins and outs of our day. Look at verse 3. Let's just read it for a while. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now we're going to stop there for a second, because in those, what is it, three verses, I can't add or subtract, four verses, He's going to give us five phrases, five reasons to hang on. And when I was looking at it, when I was studying, and I thought, there's five things, kind of like a hand. This is God giving us a hand to get through the day. Now, mark these things. It was in His great mercy that He's given us a new birth. Underline new birth. Circle it. For those of us who are in Jesus, for those of us who follow Jesus, for those of us who have decided that we want to be with Him, like Him, and live our lives for Him, He gives us a new birth. Okay? Now, there's lots of things to discuss there. In our time, we won't spend all of our time on this one point. But folks, here's what that means. Jesus said to people like us, He said, I can give you a brand new life. I can give you a new start. How many of you, if you could, would say, let me just start brand new? Now, honest, I do not want to go back to baby stage. I do not want to go back to little kid stage. I don't want to go back to the stage where somebody can tell me, don't eat that other brownie. I want the brownie. I don't want to go back to little kids. I don't want to go back to school. Oh, please, no. I don't want to go back to school. I don't want to go back to driver's ed. I don't want to go back to dating. I don't want to go back that way. But would you like to start over again? Would you like to have a chance to start your life all over again? That's what this new birth gives you. Jesus will say it to Nicodemus. You can be born again. Now, you're not going to go back inside mama. You're not going to be a baby again. You're not going to get to learn to walk and talk and ride bicycles and all that stuff again, though. But you get a chance to start new. Now, here's the problem. That's a blessing, but here's the problem with it. Nobody else may see that. There's some of you who are in situations right now, work, marriage, or friendships, where you are with people that are not good for you. I love you, but you're in toxic relationships or friendships, and they're draining you, they're hurting you, they're infecting you, if you want to put it that way. And you want to start anew, but you can't get them to treat you as new. All right, now hang on. Do you understand? Their reaction to you does not determine whether or not you're new or not. Whether you are with Jesus determines if you're new. It's you that is new, not them. So your husband may not treat you different. Your wife may not treat you different. Your boss or your employees, your mother, your parents or your kids may not treat you any different. But you can be brand new every day. And you start that day that way. Now, other people are going to remember. I'm telling you, in my life, I've lived a while experiencing that. They will remember. And they will remember it against you. And they will treat you that way. Guess what? I can't change that. I can't change them, but I can take a chance at starting brand new every day. So I decide, not them, I decide that today is a brand new day, and I'm going to live my day brand new. I'm not going to react to them like they were yesterday, and I'll hope they won't treat me the same way either. Whether they do or not is not the point. I have a brand new life because I was given a new birth. Now, number two, that new birth was into a living hope. I love the thought, living hope. First thing I ever thought about when I saw this verse 100 years ago, I had gone to some restaurant and it had advertisements under the glass on the tables, and it had like, and back in 1922, Sears and Roebuck, you could buy a tractor for $3.50, you know, that kind of stuff, man. I loved that. And even when I was a kid, I used to love listening to my parents and grandparents, great-grandparents, talking about, and you, back in 47, or back in 22, or back in 19. Now, folks, that is the first sign of becoming a grandparent. I mean, you get taught that. When you have your first grandchild at the hospital, they take you into a room and give you a little, show you a little film strip and teach you how to be a grandparent. And one of the things they want to teach you is how to say dates. You don't say back in 1972. You just say 72. Back there in 72, back there in 45. Now, see, 72 is not old at all. And there's some of you that weren't even born then. I hate you, die. 72 is not even old. That's bad teacher. Yes, bad teacher. But that's, you, I loved hearing my grandparents talk about it. Well, back there, I heard a group of farmers saying this. Well, I remember it's one summer, and it was back in 68. Old bunch of farmers sitting around, old men, they said, well, back there in 52, man, I remember it didn't rain for like 3 weeks. And you, when you're talking to a bunch of old farmers, they're old fossils either way, they'll got a one up. So the next one said, well, now, don't you remember back there in 27? 27, man, it didn't rain for 4 weeks. Well, I'm telling you, back there in 19, it didn't rain for 6 weeks. I mean, it just gets higher and deeper as you go along, right? Finally, one old man, the oldest man there, said, boys, back in '09, it never rained. Well, point is, you can hear those kind of stories, and they talk about how gas was. I remember buying gasoline by the gallon in Abilene, Texas, in 1971. I bought gas for 19 cents a gallon. 19 cents a gallon, y'all. I'm telling you what, if I could have that chance now, I would stand there and pour it on the ground and make money, right? I'm telling you. But you see those kind of ads and you hear those kind of stories. Folks, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You hear me? That's a dead hope. You give up on that. You don't have to worry about missing the deal, though, in this. You don't have to worry about missing the deadline. You don't have to worry about them changing the fine print. This is a living hope. Today, the hope that Jesus is for us, the hope that Jesus will give us a new birth, the hope that Jesus will give the rest of these things that I'm about to give you, is based on the fact that He's living. It was through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So where is He right now, y'all? Where is Jesus right now? If you've got Him on a little cross on a necklace, I'm not making fun of your necklace, and I'm not being mean to you. I'm just saying, that picture's not true. That necklace is not true. If you got Him carved on some furniture in your church building, I'm sorry. I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying, that picture's not true. You go to Mexico, walk into the National Cathedral, and they will show you Jesus. They will show you magnificent carvings and beautiful statues that have Jesus still stuck on the cross. He was there one time. He is not there now. This is a living hope, y'all. Jesus is alive right now. So as long as He's alive, I've got a chance to live. I have a living hope. Now keep reading. Not only do I have a new birth, not only do I have a living hope, I have a never perish, spoil, or fade inheritance. I I don't know how it is with your family. In our family, we're kind of odd. My brothers are especially. As we grew up and as my parents got older, we would teasingly, and it was teasing, would say, "Hey, old man," that's what we call our dad, "old man, when you die, I want that shotgun," or "granny, when you pass on, I want that pen." We would just start picking stuff. And it might be, "I want that shirt when you die." And I've even said that to some of you, you know. When you, ooh, Indiana. So when you die, give that to Dennis. We would do that kind of thing. But honest, by the time they pass on, what will some of that stuff be worth that we thought was so important? It'll be nothing. They worked in estate sales, and that's how I got started doing this. I love old books. So they'd have an estate sale, and I'd go look at all the old books. I love books. I love books of any kind, but I love, especially love old books. And my mother and dad would have an estate sale, and there'd be all this old stuff that they were going to sell, and everybody would come, and they'd be paying big bucks for old stuff, right? I got a little bitty Bible, and I was flipping through it, and it was like, man, it was like the 1900s. That's old for me, y'all, all right? Early 1900s, late 1800s, something like that. And I got this over, I loved it. And I was flipping through it one day because I wanted to see some of the writing and I wanted to see some of that stuff. And I found a little lock of hair tied up with a ribbon. Little blonde hair, a little lock of hair tied up in a little ribbon, stuck in that Bible. Now, I kept reading because I read in the book, and it was a lock of hair of a little girl that had been born in that family, and she had died at 6 or 7 years of age, and it had her funeral notes in there and things. Now tell me, when that happened, how did that mother feel about that lock of hair? Treasured it. How did she feel about the Bible that little girl, it had to be a little Bible, a kid's Bible, because it's only about that wide. So how did she feel about that little Bible that her daughter carried to church with her? Treasured, priceless. I bet you the mama carried it everywhere she went. I bet she never let it out of her sight. And you know how I got it? It was sold for less than a quarter at an estate sale, because nobody in her family or anybody else's family after that wanted it. That's what happens with our stuff, right? It fades. It spoils. Look at it. It fades, it spoils, and it perishes. Guess what? Our inheritance, what we get from God, doesn't perish, doesn't spoil, doesn't fade. What's that tell you? What's that tell you? If it doesn't perish, doesn't spoil, and doesn't fade, it's as good today as it was when He made the promise. It'll be as good whenever we collect it as it was the day He made the promise. So guess what? That helps me get through the day. Because I do not have to worry about losing anything by living my life here the way I'm supposed to live it here. Because I've got an inheritance waiting on me. Now my life insurance, it ain't that way. It's a depressing thing when you get my age. I got a letter from my life insurance company that they said, "Now that you're this age, we have reduced your benefit down to this many dollars." Am I not worth it when I get older? No. Man, my kids' inheritance is going way down. And maybe there'll be enough to cremate my toast when I get there. But that's what happens in this world, but not with God. That inheritance is as good today as it was then, and it'll be as good the day we collect it as it was the day He promised it. That inheritance doesn't perish, doesn't spoil, doesn't fade. Now watch how this helps Him. Keep reading. "This is kept in heaven for you." So you got to get to heaven to get it, all right? No early withdrawal. "Who through faith are shielded by God's power." So, let's do this. Underline God's power first. Underline God's power. Because not only do we have new birth, not only do we have living hope, not only do we have never perish, spoil, or fade inheritance, we have a shield. A shield of God's power. Now, Let me take it a step at a time. And you answer the question. Are we shielded by God's power? Bible says so, so I got to believe it. Does that mean that I'll never get a cold, I'll never get a toothache, I'll never get bad breath or dandruff? No. Does it mean I will never have disappointment? That a wife would never betray or a husband would never harm? Does it mean the parents will never fight or kids will never rebel? No, it doesn't mean that. We are shielded by God's power means simply what? Oh, you know this. What does it mean if you're shielded by God's power? What does that mean? Yes and yes. Da-da-da-da. Can't touch that. I'm telling you, the devil can't have us. The devil cannot touch us. Now, can he tempt? Can he roar like a lion? Can he get you? Nope, can't get us. Somebody said, well, how powerful? How powerful is the devil? And we've had this discussion before. Remember the guy I told you about who believed that I heard him. He's on the radio preaching in the same town I was going to preach in. I was going up there for a meeting. He was going to go up there for some revival. And he was on the radio broadcasting. Come to my revival. I'm going to talk about it. And he said it. I didn't make it up. He said, come and I'm going to talk about the most powerful thing in the whole world. And I'm going to talk about the most important topic in the whole Bible. And so I'm listening to the radio driving into the town thinking, tell me, what is the most important thing in the whole Bible? He said, the devil. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Most important topic in the whole Bible is the devil? I think somewhere he missed that, didn't he? The most important thing in the whole Bible is Jesus, right? And how does Jesus compare to the devil? Crushed his head. That's how he compares, right? In fact, somebody said to me that, they said, well, now how powerful are we? How powerful is the devil? And how much power does he have over us? I'll start a verse, you finish it. I'll start a verse, you finish it. If you resist the devil, he will. Please. One more time. You resist the devil, he will. Please. Bible says so. That's the truth. If you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. The word flee means run scared. So when you resist the devil, what does he do? He's gone, right? Now, we live in a world... Yeah. That's exactly right, Aiden. Oh, Aiden's going to be a preacher big time, man. He knows. That's what Legion sounded like when he was running out of the dark right there. We live in a religious world, in a spiritualized world, that wants you to believe that there's all these forces that surround you, that influence you, that push you, that hurt you, that can just conquer you. I believe in those forces of evil. The Bible talks about them. I believe also that Jesus crushed the devil's head and that he disarmed my enemies. Now, we have visitors, so they need to learn this, all right? Colossians chapter 2 said Jesus disarmed the principalities and the powers. So what does it mean, disarmed? Pulls his arms off. That's right. So he crushed his head and jerked his arms off. He cannot hurt you if you are shielded by the power of God through faith. Now that faith is a key there. You got to believe it. You don't have to worry about your horoscope. Even if it's a horror scope, you don't have to worry about it, right? I am shielded by the power of God. I believe that. Oh, don't you? Why don't you think about them demons? They are out there. But if I resist the devil, what happens? They're gone. They flee from us. That roaring lion. He flees from somebody who resists him. Now, what does he do when you don't resist him? He eats your lunch and then comes after you and licks his chops on the way. But if you resist him, you can defeat him. We are shielded by the power of God. I love the verse. I love the verse in John chapter 10 that talks about, I am in the hand of Jesus. And Jesus' hand is in the hand of the Father. And no one can snatch me from them. Did you hear it? No one can snatch me. Did you hear me? Did you hear him? That's what matters. Nobody can snatch you. You are protected by the power of God. Well, how come things don't ever go right? I didn't say you weren't going to get a toothache. I didn't say your wife wasn't going to betray you. I didn't say your husband wasn't going to hit you. I hate that stuff, but that's what goes on in this world. But he can't get to you. Now, there'll be tough days, and he's going to talk about that and how you get through them. But tough days only mean it makes you long for home a little bit more. You just hang on. You have a new birth. You've got a living hope. You've got a never perish, spoil, or fade inheritance. And you've got the power of God shielding you. Keep reading. Last one. You're shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, when I read my Bible and when you read your Bible, when you go hear somebody preach or you listen to some sermon about salvation, most of the time, 9 times out of 4, the salvation is what? Salvation means I'm forgiven of my sins. Is that a good time salvation? That's good time, big time, great salvation, right? That's what new birth means here. The salvation he's talking about here is not just, now it would include it, I'm sure, but it's not just the forgiveness of sins. Do I like the forgiveness of sins? You bet. Do I like the cleansing of my conscience? Yes, so I'm saved not only from my sin, I'm saved from the guilt that I feel because of that sin. I'm also saved from the power of the devil. I'm saved from hell. I'm saved from death. This salvation he's talking about is the salvation that's revealed when Jesus comes to take me home. You read your Bible, and how does that look? How does it look when Jesus comes back? Trumpet blows. The angel shouts. The sky rolls up like a scroll. And Jesus comes, you know what it says? In blazing fire. He is coming with a vengeance to do what? To take me home. And anybody that doesn't want me in heaven is going to have to face him. Did you hear that? Anybody that doesn't want you in heaven, anybody that doesn't want you in heaven, Jesus is going to come get you, and they got to face him. He wants you there. He's going to come get you there. That's the salvation he's talking about here. So if I've got this, if I've got a grip on it, if I've got these 5 things, if I've got this new birth that lets me start off every day brand new, if I've got this living hope that never dies, and if I've got this inheritance waiting on me in heaven that ain't going to fade, spoil, or perish, and if I've got this, what was the fourth one? Shield. If I'm shielded, my God, thanks. What'd you call it a minute?
Pregnancy brain.
I've got an old fossil brain, all right? Shielded by God's power, and he can't touch me. He cannot have me. And then 5, Jesus is coming to get me. Look at how it helps me get through my day. Keep reading. In this you greatly rejoice. In what you greatly rejoice?
These 5 things.
In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while. Now underline a little while. You may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. I didn't write it. I would not have thought to say it. I wasn't smart enough. But Jesus knew the best way to help us get through these tough times is to know it's only going to last a little while. Now, the folks on the TV and on the radio will say things to you that aren't true about, well, if you pray and you send in enough money to our program, then you'll never have anything. I heard a guy say one time, you'll get new furniture. I don't know if he was true or not because I didn't send him money. Well, he must have been true because I didn't get new furniture, all right? I don't know, but I can't promise all that. I wouldn't even begin to think about promising that. I cannot promise you. I cannot promise you that you'll get a better job, that you'll get a raise. I don't know that you'll be able to pay your bills. I don't know that you're going to be able to forestall bankruptcy. I don't know about you getting out of prison earlier. I don't know. I don't know. If your wife's going to love you, if your husband's going to hurt, I don't know. I don't know those things, but I know this. I know this. Any trouble we have, it's just going to last a little while. Just going to last a little while. I have lived, I have lived in the consequence of my shame for 10 years. It has seemed like forever. And especially at the beginning. But how long is 10 years? Now for Aiden, 10 years is a whole future. But for me, 10 years has been what? It's gone. 10 years is gone. I'd have never thought it'd been 10 years. I'd never going to make it the first year. And it's been 10 years. I watch old Moses walk around in the wilderness for 40 years, waiting on God to call him to go back to Egypt. And I think, man, how did he wait that long? I don't know how you wait that long, but it's just a little while. I don't know. I do. I say I don't know. I don't know the visitors. I know you. I know you. And I know what's hurting. I know some of the things hurting you. I know you wish you had a better job. I know you wish you had a better mate. You wish you had a better salary or a better retirement or a better car. I know. I'm in there. We're going to have to suffer grief. I didn't write it. God said you're going to have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. But when that happens, does it mean that we don't have living hope, new birth, great inheritance? What's the fourth one? She'll live out God's power. Man, now I've got a blind spot and salvation. Do the trials cancel those things out? No, those five things are eternal, and the suffering is right. Tell me in the Bible, what is it? A little while. Now underline it, little while, because you're going to forget that. I am so tired of this. I hate my life. I don't want it to be like this. I'm so tired of this. It's a little while. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've been waiting a long time. I know it's the same way you can have an old friend that's very young. Right? I've been suffering a long time, and it's just been a little while. He said, you're going to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, but it's only going to be for a little while. Now, keep reading. These what? These trials have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Did you hear him? The trial is going to come. The grief is going to come. You don't stop being shielded by the power of God during your trials. Those things are happening so that one of these days, Jesus is going to get more praise, more glory, and honor. Because it means we stayed with Him. And He proved that what He gave us is going to outlast any little old grief or trial. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. Now, I need you to underline those two phrases. You haven't seen Him, but you love Him. How about love Him right up there? What do I do to get through a day? Love Him. Yeah, but I don't like my life. I hear you. But you love Jesus, don't you? Yeah, but I don't understand why it always has to be so tough. Every time I try and do something right, something bad happens to me. I know. Do you love Him? Yeah, I love Him. I don't understand, but I love Him. And then the next one, it says, you haven't seen Him now, but you believe in Him. Circle that one. Believe. Just believe. Yeah, but I don't understand. I didn't ask you to understand. Just believe. Just believe Jesus is going to make this thing right. Jesus is going to get us through this day. Jesus is going to get us through the tough times. Jesus is going to get us through the grief. There's going to be grief. Jesus is going to get us through that grief because it's only going to last a little while. And the good stuff is going to last forever. And here's how he says, because you are receiving, he brings it up again, you are receiving the goal of your faith. What is the goal of your faith? Salvation. The salvation of your soul. I don't know about mates, and I don't know about jobs, and I don't know about bills, and I don't know about health, but I know about this. We're saved. We're saved. We get to go to heaven. And from now until we get there, it's just a little while. That's good enough. That's good enough. The rest of that just confirms what we just read. So let's tie it off this way. it's easy when we get in here. It's easy when we get in here and I say, tell me something good. It's getting easier for us because we're exercising and we're getting better at spotting good things that God's doing for us even though we're suffering. And you understand when I say that? I understand. Some of you are really hurting. Some of you are physically ill. Some of you financially so damaged you don't think you're ever going to be able to get out of the hole you're in. Some of you got situations in your marriage that just, it's like the weight of the world's pressing on your chest. You can't breathe. Some of you are dealing with past sins and mistakes that you made in the past that have so altered you that you're never going to be the same. You're going to limp the rest of your life. Some of you just don't know whether you believe or not. I mean, there's all kinds of things in here we deal with. How do you get through today? How do you get through it? Love Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Because if you can believe in Him, if you can love Him, you got a new birth. You got a living hope. You got a forever inheritance. You got a shield that's the power of God. And you've got salvation that lasts forever. So what do? When you grieve, when you have things that upset you, when you have things that worry you, when you have things that make you angry or make you bitter, what do? Love Him and believe in Him. Because those things are going to last just a little while. Those tough things are going to last just a little while, right? Good stuff lasts forever, right? Let's pray. Father, thank You for today, for these folks, for their attention. And I do not, God, take it lightly what they did all day today. They dug ditches, laid tile, drove trucks, repaired cars, learned lessons, taught children, sold shirts and ties, watched over our safety, cleaned the house, paid the bills, learned the lessons, sold the beds, got all these, they did stuff all day long. And yet they came here because they wanted to be together and they wanted to learn. They wanted to hear what Jesus would say to them tonight on how to get through today. So I thank You for them and I ask Your blessing on them. And I thank You for Jesus and the promise He's made to us. Help us not to forget those promises. And God, especially for the people right now that are feeling the grief and the pain, and it's tougher than some of us others are feeling it. Please give them some comfort. Please give them some reassurance with these words and with our love that it's only going to be a little while. Things are going to get better. And so now we say it, God, and we say it as our praise, but we also say it as our prayer. We do love Jesus, and we do believe in Jesus. Amen. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, Rick.